2:19. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be.
Upon you I have learned from before my birth.
imparted to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your grace, and with your glory all the day. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
seated for the office hymn, hymn 541. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I sent you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 13. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to move, to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter.
Glory.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What had you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the common responsory, page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord of the habitation.
those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, have a habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, have a habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
You may be seated. Grace and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again these words from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirits of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." C.S. Lewis once said that there are two equal but opposite mistakes we can make when it comes to the demons. The first is to deny their existence, to attribute all accounts of demon possession as poor mental health or perhaps as metaphors for mankind's hatred. The other is to be too interested in the demons, to want to examine them, to study them for ourselves, to know everything about them. Whether we ignore them or whether we let them into our hearts, the result is the same. We allow them to work unimpeded in our lives. It is far better to remain on the straight and narrow way, to know that demons exist, that they hate us, and they are defeated. The scriptures don't tell us much about the nature of demons, for the same reason that a bottle of medicine doesn't tell you about the disease it cures. That knowledge isn't necessary. It works either way. God, in his wisdom, has chosen not to tell us about the nature of demons. And where God is silent, we would do well not to speculate. What we do know is this, that once God made the angels, some of them rebelled against him, that there was a war in heaven and these rebellious angels lost and were cast out of heaven. These are the evil angels, the ones we call the demons. We know that they have some limited authority to terrorize mankind on the earth, and that authority is limited. Poets and writers have since then tried to fill in the details. Most of what we think we know about demons comes from popular culture. Now, it may very well be the case that Satan does believe that it is better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven, but it wasn't God who said that. It wasn't the Holy Spirit who wrote that. John Milton put those words in his mouth. These rebellious angels, these evil angels, these demons, they oppose their Creator, and they want us to follow them in their condemnation. Now, understand that we are not dualists. We are not Manichaeans. We're not whatever ism you want to have us be. We do not believe that the demons are an equal but opposite force opposed to God. We understand exactly what they are. They're creatures. They're creations of God. Compared to us, they are very powerful, but in the face of God, they are nothing. They are defeated by the word of God. We do not fight them ourselves. God fights them for us. The revelation of St. John describes the demons in militaristic terms. It shows them as a terrible army that run across the entire earth, covered in brightly colored armor, riding monstrous horses, armed with weapons that terrorize and torment unbelievers. But this is not something they do on their own terms. Limits are set upon them. They're imposed upon them. They have authority to torment and torture, but only for a short while. This authority, they did not originate. They did not make it. They did not steal it. It was given to them. It will be taken away. Now, authority is related to power, but it is not power. A man with a gun does not have authority the same way that a police officer does. I could have said at the beginning of service, I forgive you all your sins. But I'm not pastor. I don't have the authority to speak the words of absolution. I don't have that right. Not until I'm called, ordained, and take on the authority of the pastoral office. Authority must be given. It must flow from its source like a river to its tributaries. Police officers have authority because the government gives it to them. Teachers have authority because parents give it to them. All of this comes from one source, the Father, who created all things and sustains them through the means that he has chosen. The authority of a general over his troops comes from the Father. The authority of a manager over his employees comes from the Father. The authority of a mother over her children comes from the Father. All of them have been appointed to this authority by the Father so that they can care for his creation. There is no authority outside the Father any more than there is any one thing that he did not create. Now, it would be a better world if with authority came the wisdom to use it in an honorable and God-pleasing way. But it doesn't take us long to see that this is not the case. Authority is so often abused. Look to the man possessed by a demon in today's gospel lesson. Look to governments that abuse their citizens. Look to the police officer who assaults the innocent. Look to a father who does not love his children. Each of them had power and authority given to them by God, and rather than fearing him and following his will, they follow their own. Now we can see how the Father gives authority in today's Old Testament reading, when he called Jeremiah verbally and specifically to the office of a prophet. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And again, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And again, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. To Jeremiah, God gave the office of prophet, and with that calling came authority and power. Its limits, its potency, all of it determined by God. He gave Jeremiah the words to speak, the audience to speak them to. words that no one else could speak but the prophet. If anyone else was to try to usurp that authority to speak these words that were not given to him, he would not be acting according to God's will, but in order to serve his own glory. We can see this poorly ordered authority in today's gospel lesson. The demon spoke truth. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. He didn't lie. Nothing he said was wrong. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He came to defeat the demons. But a truth spoken by the wrong person to the wrong people at the wrong time can be just as wicked as speaking a falsehood. Remember, the devil did not tell strictly lies to Adam and Eve. He spoke half-truths. And by doing so, he condemned us all. Now, we know who Jesus is. We all know what it means that he's the Holy One of God. We know that he is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. We know that he is very God of very God, light of light, begotten, not made. We know that he is the Holy One who spoke out of the flames in the burning bush, the one who led Israel out of the wilderness, that he is the great I Am. But we only know this because the Holy Spirit has given it to us, this understanding, this faith. Those people in the synagogue that day, they did not know this. They lived on the wrong side of Pentecost to believe. So when the demon said these things to them, he was seeking to disrupt Jesus' ministry, to give them the wrong idea. What does it mean to be the Holy One of God? The Jews in those days probably had their own assumptions. They maybe thought he was an earthly savior, an avenging judge who had come to save them from Rome. Or maybe they thought he was another prophet come to give them an encouraging word. Or maybe that he was the last scion of David come to claim his throne. Or maybe they thought he was something else, a thousand other things. It doesn't really matter. They would all be wrong. So the Son of Man, when he hears this demon speaking these words out of turn, out of order, not using the authority he was given, he silences the demon. He rebukes it. He casts him out of the man like an uninvited guest. Now, popular culture has led us to believe that exorcisms are spectacles, that there's all manner of excitement about them. The truth is that they're much, much more simple, much more mundane than all that. If you've been in this church, if you've seen a baptism at that font, you have seen an exorcism. You've seen the devil renounced, cast out, because you know that the devil cannot abide to be in a soul sealed by the holy name of God. The man in the synagogue, he was thrown down, but the devil was gone. It was as simple as that. That demon could no longer torment him, for Jesus, the Son of God, was there, was victorious. The Son of the Father had come to establish and reestablish the order of things. With a voice of authority, he rebuked the demon. The same authority, the same voice with which he said, "It is finished," on the cross. When he uses that voice, he is not expressing an opinion. He's not making a suggestion. It's a statement of fact. It makes things as they are. He is saying, "It is finished. All debts are paid, all sins forgiven, death undone." All authority in heaven and on earth was given to him, and he exercises that authority with judgments against sin and the devil, and with mercy to us, his people. With that authority, Jesus spoke and healed Peter's mother-in-law. With that authority, he drove out demons throughout all of Israel. With that authority, he speaks life out of death. It is that authority that pastor speaks with when he forgives you your sins. It is precisely that authority that pastor speaks with when he says that the bread is Christ's body, the blood is Christ's wine, that wine is Christ's blood. It is that authority that does not originate in pastor. It's not something that he made. It was something that was given to him when he was called to this congregation. So that you would know that when he says you are forgiven, you are forgiven. Not because pastor says so, not because he puts on a good show, but because Christ speaks through him. The one who cast out the demons is the one who announces you innocent. When I speak here right now, I don't do so under my own authority. Because as myself, as a man, there's nothing I can do to strengthen or even inspire faith within your hearts. I speak under pastor's authority, and he under Christ's, so that when I speak truth, it is not I who speak. It is Christ. Now, we all have authority. You only have to look through your life, look to the Ten Commandments, consider where you are. Some of you are employers, some of you are teachers or professors, some of you are parents, some of you are brothers or sisters. All of you have authority that was either given to you by a superior or given to you by nature. All of it, wherever it comes from, ultimately has its source in God the Father. He gave you that authority. He entrusted you with where you are. And this is not a light matter. That God promises to be with you. He does not leave you alone. He has shown you how you ought to do. That you ought to love him with all your strength, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your heart. And that you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, love God and love your neighbor. And trust that the God who loves you, who has given you this authority, has not abandoned you. Far from it. For Christ, who has all authority, has redeemed you. He does not leave the devil to torment you, but he instead takes that old serpent and casts him into the fire. He declared you to be his own. To this Christ be all glory and power and authority unto ages of ages. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Turn to page 223. We stand to sing the Te Deum.
To you, Lord.
gather the offerings. Please fill out the ritual friendship pad at the end of the pew and pass it to the folks sitting next to you. Tear the sheets off and put it in the basket as you leave. We gather the offerings. You may be seated. Sing the Kyrie, page 227. We stand to sing.
Parishes and congregations everywhere like ours
with the authority to forgive sins, strengthen faith, and power the lives of good works, that the people of this world may see your love through us. Bless Trinity Lutheran, our church, child care center, and campus ministry in 2022. Bless Dr. John Trinkline and his wife Gretchen as they serve in the seminary in Seoul, South Korea, and in the Lutheran Church of Korea. And bless the work of Lutheran Heritage Foundation as they bring the gospel and materials in people's own languages to know the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of marriage and family. Pour out your blessings this week upon Amber and Charles Gaither as they celebrate their anniversary, and those who celebrate their birthdays, Patricia Sepulveda, Jay Gallagher, Vern Ramsey, McKenna Scott, and Eileen Stringer. Bless parents and children and families, and give us a zeal to point them always to the ways of forgiveness, and fill us with obedience, respect, and love. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you know all things. The words of your mouth stand over all nations and over kingdoms, able to pluck down, break down, destroy, overthrow, or build up. Rule by your might, that our nation may be governed and preserved. Do not let us be dismayed as citizens in this world or of your kingdom. Continue to bless Mike Gobble and Ricardo Batanga, Charles Gaither and Danny Green, Emily Shelton, Alex Laffin, Courtney Tate, as they serve in the armed forces of our nation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, we remember those who are afflicted. Hear their desires and strengthen their hearts and grant them healing and strength. Be with all suffering from COVID or the flu or any kind of seasonal illness, and grant healing to Joe Waller, Judy Smith, Jessica Brerin, and Raymond Sendelbach, Patty Reber, Jeannie Vorster, and Dwayne Grisowski, LaDonna Moss, Chris Henderson, Neil Taptoe, Jill Tarver, Candy Darmody. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you, O Lord, for those who lived and died with faith in Christ and now rest in your presence. Grant us always repentant hearts to receive your gifts. Strengthen us to care for the needs of others in the ways of Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.